everybody, welcome into the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here for the episode they named after a title of a song that they used earlier. For some reason, I'm joined as always by Slovy Finmish Shadow Lovely. Hey gang, what's good?
Hey.
Hello, welcome.
It's like 97 degrees where I am, so should we just get to it?
Before
one of us explodes from heat?
Good, sure. Cool. Fortunately, we get a John-free episode this time, because we got maybe too much John in the last episode. It's really weird that, like, starting a couple episodes back, they decided that they were truly going to commit to this was actually supposed to be two seasons deal, and just have each episode specifically follow one half of the storylines that they've set up in this show. One half of the cast of characters that we care about, question mark. But this is the John-free episode because the last one was exclusively John. We never saw Lady Gaga. So it's more Lady Gaga lore time. I know everyone's been super excited for that.
I'm writing the Lady Gaga and American Horror Story Wikipedia page, and this episode is exactly for me.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it opens with her crying and giving a little speech about how the longer you're on this earth, men's hearts get bigger and something, and women's hearts just get smaller and smaller. And since I've lived forever, I don't think there's anything there at all. And it's like, yeah, all right.
She's talking about physical hearts, by the way. She's like actually referring to like the ventricles and whatnot of the hearts. Like, it's not a metaphor, but like it is, question mark.
She's using it metaphorically, but also speaking of it literally, which makes it very stupid.
Also,
because, like, if your vampire thing keeps you alive, why wouldn't it just, like, keep your heart from doing that? Because that sounds pretty lethal.
It would, right? And that's the problem with them being, like, not exactly vampires, but it's the only thing that makes sense, right? It's like, yeah, your heart doesn't go bad, obviously, because you don't age, so everything's kind of there. But, yeah, so this metaphor doesn't work to start with, but it's especially just poor, even if it did. It's like, yeah, my heart's smaller, so I really value the things I can fit in there, which, whatever.
Yeah, it also kind of paints the implication that Lady Gaga, who we have seen is kind of dumb because she did get Ponzi schemed, parentheses original, does not, in fact, know that actual emotions are not stored in the organ in your chest, known as the heart, the thing that pumps the blood through us. She does not believe that they come from the brain. She believes that they come from the actual thing pumping in your chest.
She'd be like, hey, don't be ridiculous. I'm a woman of science. Now give me that jar of radium. I got some stuff to cure.
Yeah, love that for her. Also, when they had her, I mean, I guess they probably didn't have another option because she is her playing her character. But throughout the whole ADR, because she's doing a lot of voiceover for this, because this is like her two episodes, because the episode of the title of this one is She Wants Revenge. The band who played the song in the opening episode of this TV show, and the next episode is She Gets Revenge. So it's like this is a two-parter, question mark. And the whole time she's giving her voiceover, it's so obvious she has like an upper respiratory infection. It's really hard to listen to from the perspective of someone who does ADR, because it's like, man, you guys couldn't bring her in on another day when she didn't feel like this to record. You can hear it in her like voice and her like delivering stuff, and I'm like, or just maybe didn't have.
There's definitely a little. There's like a little bit of this going on, yeah.
And there's like the telltale like sniffle sounds at the beginning and ending of statements, just that she doesn't typically have. That Lady Gaga typically does not have. And I'm like, you could have just made this episode not so like voiceover centric. You could have just like had her on camera delivering the lines because it's harder to tell instead of speaking into a microphone whether or not the person is feeling under the weather. But alas, this is mostly being dubbed over, and she definitely sounds like she's either recovering from or beginning to get sick. And she's just giving her stupid little speech about hearts and men's hearts and women's hearts. And then she finds the room. The whole thing is delivered while she's looking into the big hole that knocked down the wall where her vampire spouses were hidden. Also, we're going to find out later. I guess it's possible that he might have been lying, but it seems too specific for me to care whether he's lying or not. Also, it doesn't matter. Later in this episode, James March will be referring to this specific wall that has had a big chunk knocked out of it. And he does, in fact, refer to it as a load-bearing wall. Which is pretty funny, I think. To think that they knocked down a load-bearing wall and then just left it.
Yeah. Also, like, the whole... her whole speech about, like, I have so little space in my heart for things as opposed to men who get more and more space in their heart for things really doesn't make sense when she is, like, far and away the most polyamorous character in this show. Like, by, like, a lot. Like, I don't know if anyone else comes close. Like, every other character has had one or maybe two lovers. Lady Gaga has had, like, 35. It's like, come on now. What are we doing here?
It's one of those things where it's easier to list the people she hasn't hooked up with on the show than...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you could say she might even fall into the category of a filthy bisexual. Who would say that? Certainly not... Certainly not Will Drake or the writers of this TV show.
American Horror Story coming in with the hot takes later.
No, it's okay. It's like South Park. If the evil characters say the bad thing, then it's not bad.
Yeah, gotcha. That makes sense. That tracks.
They don't believe it, Slow Beef. They just are saying other people do think that. They don't think that.
Right. This is behavior you don't emulate because it's done by a villain. Got it.
Correct.
Excellent.
Exactly.
So they're planning the wedding, and Drake very much wants to have a, like, big showy wedding, like Sex in the City, big blowout, money everywhere kind of shit, because he's, like, a big fashion man. Of course he does. Are you stupid? Like, that's their whole thing. And then Lady Gaga's like, no, we can't. I need to make sure no one can follow me and, you know, kill me with a dagger or whatever. No one can follow up and give me lawsuits for what I'm about to do. It's like so blatant, just like, oh, I don't want to be looked at. It's cool. And makes up some absolutely inane excuse like, oh, I think caring about what the public thinks about is what's killing your inspiration. And it's like, no, he just, like, could only come up with piano neckties and then he was out of ideas.
Yeah, he had burnout. You know? He was suffering from burnout.
It's annoying, though, too, because they've always, like, kind of portrayed Lady Gaga as, like, this Dracula kind of character, you know, and she's, like, kind of influences people and can read people, and she's just like, I could go for a small wedding, and Will Drake's like, nah, you're crazy, get out of here. Like, it just totally dropped here. Like, she can't do it or help it or anything, but...
If you're enjoying this podcast and are interested in supporting us or having access to additional bonus episodes, consider subscribing to our Patreon over at patreon.com/greatandterribleahs. Supporters who pledge $5 or more a month will get access to our monthly Patreon exclusive episode in which we discuss various American Horror Story spinoffs, such as American Horror Stories. Thank you again for listening, and we hope to see you around next week. I think in this scene they do sometimes forget that, like, they didn't give these vampires any kind of influence or, like, that specific subset of vampire qualities. Because you could kind of tell with the way that these two characters were going back and forth with this, like, direct conflict between them of wanting a big wedding versus not wanting a big wedding, that, like, they really wanted to have Lady Gaga do, like, a Jedi mind trick and convince him that he shouldn't. But, like, she couldn't do that because that's not part of the deal. So they were like, yeah, just have her be, like, his muse or whatever.
Like, they kind of hint at it at other times, too, though. Like, remember, like, when, like, she kind of senses something's off with Iris, you know, with that, like, you're trembling and your blood pressure's high kind of thing. But, like, then they're just not consistent with it. Or, like, obviously, she never, like, has the full-on Dracula, but, you know.
Oh, like, how she also implied she could smell Liz Taylor's gender dysphoria?
Yes, exactly, right.
just telltale vampire. Every vampire can do this. Every vampire can smell gender dysphoria. They don't tell you that. The government doesn't want you to know that. Yeah. Speaking of Liz Taylor, Liz Taylor is working at the front desk, and Lady Gaga is like, okay, well, I'm going to go do my thing. Goodbye, Will Drake. And she goes over to Liz Taylor to ask Liz Taylor to purchase like flowers for the wedding. And then they have like a little cat fight because Liz Taylor's still mad that Lady Gaga killed Tristan. And then Lady Gaga like gets a little pot shot in saying like Tristan never actually loved you. And Liz Taylor kind of like snaps back like that's the one thing I'm not letting you take from me. You might have killed him, but you're not going to convince me that he didn't love me. And that like has a little payoff later, but it's a stupid payoff because the only payoff is that they get to jerk themselves off that they set this punchline up in the beginning of the episode. It's not like a rewarding payoff at the end. It's just like, oh, remember when Lady Gaga said this mean thing? Well, she's gonna double down on being mean about it by the end of the episode, and it won't have like, it won't make anything happen. She's just gonna do the same bit again for some reason. So Liz Taylor's not into that, and she gets kind of mad and tells Lady Gaga to buy her own wedding flowers. And then Lady Gaga gets super tilted about that and, like, gets mad. And we get more...
Betrayed even by my own largesse.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about, you little weirdo?
She goes full, like, little Victorian child told they can't have an extra plum at dinner mode. Like, she's definitely in her feelings about it.
Also, they have a lot of struggles this episode on, like, remembering whether or not she has money.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty constant the whole season.
I was actually thinking that, like, because there's going to be a point later in the episode where she'll mention that someone is, like, using her credit card a lot. And I'm like, yeah, aren't you broke? Like, what money are you using for all of this? Like, I thought the whole deal was you didn't have any money. Is it like a Schitt's Creek situation where, like, you have, like... normal people money, but because you were rich, that's not having any money. Like, I don't understand where we're at, because there's got to be ways she can make money as like a vampire lady. Like, surely she has some form of income, but if it exists we haven't seen it. But after she gets mad, she is upstairs getting waited on hand and foot, quite literally, by Alex and some lady we've literally never seen before, who won't have any speaking lines. She's just there, I think, giving Lady Gaga a pedicure. And Lady Gaga, like, sees a news report on the TV that a bunch of, like, unhoused people have been recently found with all their blood missing, El Chupacabra style. And what's weird is it's going to cut to her sending a PI out to go find Rudolph Valentino, hiring like a private investigator. But like the implication from point A to point B, which there's going to be a couple of weird issues like this over the next 10 minutes.
It's that she saw this news report generically and was like, oh, well, that's got to be.
Yeah.
That's got to be Rudy, right? That's got to be my old timey movie lover, which like. How the fuck do you know that? What are you talking about?
Yeah, and what's crazy is that isn't it. We literally find out what is causing the thing that's in the news report by the end of this episode. And it's not Rudy. So the fact that she finds Rudy after watching this is crazy. It's a crazy, like, leap in logic. I think maybe they just forgot that they had put this in to the episode at this point. Or maybe they're stupid and we thought that we'd be like, oh, well, Alex was in the room when that was on, so this will be important for Alex, as though this isn't completely Lady Gaga centric and she's not the subject of the scene. We're gonna be like, oh, right, remember when Alex is in the room and heard about that thing? This definitely isn't about Lady Gaga, who is the central focus of the shot. And she, like I said, she hires a PI who finds Rudy, who's at like a motel. How he got money to be at a motel, who knows? But he's there. And then he opens the door for her and they immediately start making out. I would like to remind everybody at this point who's listening along that he is, in fact, played by the same guy who played Tristan. And Tristan's going to be mentioned several times in this episode by various characters. And I'm like, it really is. It really, a lot of things about this show activate my almonds in a negative way. I think the most frustrating part is that she literally, that character, Lady Gaga's character, literally tells Rudy Valentino later in this episode, oh yeah, like I've spent the last 100 years trying to replace you, implying like that's why she always dates like a brunette man in a situation that kind of looks the same, and she has like this rotating roster of brunette men. But never has that character mentioned to either the character when he was alive or anyone else, yeah, it's crazy, this one dude looks exactly like my dead lover from the 1920s. Isn't that wild? This famous model guy happens to look exactly like Rudolph Valentino. Also, no one else has ever told that now dead model guy that he looks exactly like an old-timey actor from the 1920s. Is that crazy or what? He just, nobody ever brought it up. That's wild.
That's the second wildest thing about this scene, I think. Because the
we're about to hit the fever pitch of which white man is Lady Gaga with this frame.
This one is like a David Blaine trick too. I don't know why they do this, but they like they have her making out with Rudy outside the motel. They go in the door, then she's on the bed at the Cortez with Donovan, right? Where she's having sex with him. And I'm watching this like, wait, what? Did I miss a beat? Like, am I distracted? And then you rewind and you're like, no, it's a different. This is different. But what do they? Why did they do that? Because it's completely confusing because you're already like, no, it's not Tristan. It's Rudolph Valentino. Real person, I might add. And then they're just like, boom, just kidding. She's having sex with Donovan. And like,
I watched this with a friend of mine who hasn't seen any of it. And we had to pause occasionally to talk about things. This was the only time that I had to rewind to make sure I wasn't going crazy. Because even he was just like, that was two different guys, right? I'm like, was it? Holy shit. Like, why did they do that?
It's so pointless too. Like, I don't understand why they do that.
Yeah, like, also, like it doesn't help that at this point, Donovan, in our eyes, the audience, in our eyes, Donovan's off the roster. So, like, it wouldn't even make sense that she was having sex with Donovan.
Yeah,
so, of course,
with,
it wouldn't clock him.
Ramona, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's against her, never all we knew, right? But.
Yeah, why would she be fucking Donovan, who up until now she didn't even know was back at the Hotel Cortez? I guess, like, when I watched it, I kind of got what they were going for. The thing is, they're just stupid and bad at it, of being like, oh, she's out of control. She's gonna, like, all the people who are connected to her in any way, she's just gonna do whatever she wants now, as though that she hasn't been doing that this whole time. Because the whole thing, when she's giving that speech up at the beginning of the episode that we were talking about, but in case you're wondering why she's, like, on one right now, it's because of, like, finding out that James March has made the last 100 years of her life, like, a lie, essentially, because she was living with this grief of losing her, like, great loves and not knowing, or just thinking that they, like, abandoned her, essentially. And then finding out that her husband had actually just built them into the walls of the hotel she lived in. And so now she's just kind of like scorched earth, gonna like do her own thing, parentheses. That's what she's been doing the whole time. But now she's gonna do it girl boss style.
And that really is what it is.
Yeah. Like, she's just girl bossing now. That's the implication, is that she's big style girl bossing.
Girl bossing, hugely derogatory. Yeah. And so they're having sex, and yeah, again, the person I was watching it with and I, we were debating, because early on you can see a little bit of like a black tape on Lady Gaga's nipple, and it's just kind of like, did they accidentally leave nipple tape in the shot? Did they not like frame this correctly? But no, it's way more distracting. She has like gigantic black star-shaped glittery pasties on, and it is just like, what? Like, what is this a vampire thing? Like, I don't get this one.
Yeah. I think, like, we get a lot of sex scenes in the show in general, but specifically this episode. And when it cuts from her making out to Rudolph with Rudolph Valentino, which the implication here is that she went to find Rudolph Valentino, was like, holy shit, the man I've been in love with for 100 years is alive, and he's back, and I can be with him again. And then immediately was like, okay, that was nice. I have to go back home. See you. And then left that dude back at the hotel, or the motel, rather, to go back to the hotel to have sex with Donovan, ? But the Donovan sex scene, she's, like, fully nude, and then she rolls over onto her back, and they start having a conversation, and she just has the yitties out, but they have giant, like, barnacle boy ass, black star shaped nipples, like,
yeah,
dazzles.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is extremely distracting.
I took it to mean, because, like, this aired on FX, that it's just sort of like, look, we want to go topless, but they won't let us, so this is pretty close, eh? Right? You know? And then, meanwhile, like, South Park's just saying the word shit with nothing. You know what I mean? So it's just sort of like, this is the best standards and practices will let us do. You know, so.
We got to be advertiser friendly. Here's Lady Gaga's yitties with some starfish-staped nipple covers, I guess. Yeah, it's very strange. It's super, super strange.
Help buy Colgate, please. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But... like a Range Rover commercial plays immediately after this if you're watching this on TV.
Allstate, yeah, we've got you covered. Exactly, yeah, but...
I want to sign up with Allstate now. That's so weird. I can't stop thinking about Lady Gaga's boobs. I wonder why that is.
I'm so happy to tell you about our new sponsor of Great and Terrible AHS Bot. No, all right, but
Lady Gaga's nipple covers. yeah, and like they have a whole conversation. Wonderful. With her laying there with the nipple covers, just like in the middle of the shot. It's not like she's like obscured, and this is just to prevent us from like accidentally catching whiff of a nipple.
No, it's like framed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're out there. They're like middle of there. They're maybe what I would consider to be the focus of the shot. And they have this like weird and long conversation where she's like, why did I ever let you leave me? You're so much better than all of my other boyfriends. And he's like, well, you did kick me out. And she's like, damn, well, you should have told me no. And he's like, I did. And she's like, damn. Okay, well,
good talk.
It's good that you're here now. Yeah.
good and point. He's like, anyway.
She's like, sorry. Well, let's try again, I guess, is the implication. And he's like, okay, but only if we are monogamous forever. And famously trustworthy character Lady Gaga is like, yeah, okay, I'll do, that sounds great. I'm super into that. And
it's
the
great
combo.
That you asked for that, because words are cheap, so yeah. I can just give you those. It's no problem.
Yeah, anything's possible if you just lie. and he's like, yay, this is great. And then he like starts to go down on her. And then she's like, good, well, you're down there. By the way, I know we just agreed to monogamy, but I am getting married to another man on Wednesday. And he's like, what the heck? He's like, we just, what? And he seems genuinely taken aback by this. I'm like, I'm pretty sure, like, you are the first person and maybe the only person
who knew about this.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why are you surprised? You were, like, on ground zero of the Will Drake situation. But yeah, he's like, what the heck? And she's like, it's fine. I'm getting married on Wednesday and I'll be a widow by Thursday. And I'm like, that's a bad plan. Really obvious. Really obvious insurance fraud type deal.
And also, like, yeah, when your money is, like, with a big company, you have business partners and such that won't even let you get married without a prenup or anything. But they're also not just going to be like, oh, well, that money's gone from our business, you know, from his portion of it. That's all divested.
They will use their infinite fashion wealth to keep you tied up in court until you die and they get to pass the money on to their heirs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which will also expose that you're ageless, by the way. But, you know, there's a lot of problems with this plan.
Yeah, real.
So.
Yeah.
Like, at the very least, what's going to happen is they're going to get married, which is a legal binding act, which is going to be on the record. And then he's going to die the next day. And then all of the people who he works with are going to be like, oh, he married this woman who nobody knows anything about and is incredibly secretive. And then less than 24 hours after and getting married, he died.
Tiny wedding with, yeah. Had a tiny mm-hmm. wedding with no witnesses, so no one could check on the condition of Will Drake. Yeah.
Yeah. And then suddenly now he's dead less than 24 hours later. Yeah. They're going to start an investigation. Really sloppy. Just like maybe the worst like Ocean's 11 I've ever seen.
Yeah, it won't be a long investigation either. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. This is how she got. This is why Bernie Madoff or whatever his name was, like Ponzi schemed her.
Yeah.
She's just not very good at doing crime, it turns out. Even though the show would have us believe she's some kind of like vampiric mastermind manipulating everyone behind the scenes. Great news. New guys just dropped. The opening sequence just played after Lady Gaga had her nipples out. And new people just dropped. Three incredibly... no normal people check into this hotel, can I say. That no yeah. normal people check into this hotel ever. Period.
Yeah. This next scene got me the question of, from my friend who was watching, of what is the economic situation of this hotel and how do they maintain such a large, fancy hotel with so few and low quality clientele? To which I looked at him and said, that's a great point, Mega Man. I have no fucking clue. I don't know, and I don't think they do either, brother. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's why she's got to marry the bisexual guy.
Yeah. So the three people who are checking in are like clearly blatantly just doing like a porn star thing. Like they get asked for their name and the bald guy's just like, I'm Stormcock, which it's like, all right, man, subtlety of a jackhammer to the back of my head, huh? We're doing this again. Why not? And they try to check in with Iris. And Iris then is like, oh, hey, what are you going to be doing in the hotel room? Which is an insane thing for a receptionist to ask. They might ask, hey, are you here for vacation? Or in the case of like if there's a convention nearby, hey, are you here for the convention? You know, things of this nature. As opposed to, hey, what are you planning on doing in the room? And then even more insane, the other guy in the group just goes, we're making porn. Huck it, chuck it, pants down, suck it. You know what it is. Fucking and banging with the best of them. 24/7. 4K. Like, it's just like, what are you doing, man? Like, no one would do this. This is insane. Like, they'd just be like, yeah. And then he's just like, I'm gonna lick a butthole. And then the lady's like, you can't lick my butthole. I said no. And then Iris is like, okay, I'll bring up extra towels.
It's yeah.
just an absolutely unhinged fucking exchange.
It's wild. Because it's also like, I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to just use a hotel for your own commercial, like,
No.
Yeah, like, purposes.
It's frowned upon. Like, it happens, but, like, you don't talk about it. It's right. part of the game. Yeah.
Yeah, because, yeah, exactly. It's, like, it's weird for, like, other guests who might be checking in. I know that's not happening, but theoretically, at least, you know? So, but, yeah.
It's not like a Japanese love hotel where, like, the implication is that, like, if you're checking in, there's going to be sexual activity taking place. It's just a regular hotel.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a nice one, too, right? Like, it's supposed to have, you know what I mean? Like, you can't do this at, like, whatever.
Like, an identifiable one?
Right,
where
they'd
be able to, like, look at it and be like, hey, wait a minute.
I recognize that carpeting.
Yeah, not just, like, every Holiday Inn. Yeah.
Yeah. What's crazy is that's not even the first crazy thing that Iris says, because Iris comes into this conversation extremely hot. Iris is not at the counter when these people arrive. They have to ring the bell, and then she comes out. And as soon as she comes out, she just goes, the douchebag convention's actually at the Hilton. I'm like, imagine if these weren't porn stars. Like, not a super great, like, hospitality way to greet people checking into your establishment. Like, those are inside your head thoughts if you work with the public. Those are not outside your head thoughts if you work with the public. especially if you're in hospitality. But Iris has like a wild whiplash of like how she feels about this from start to finish. So she starts by calling them douchebags. And then he's like, I have a reservation. It's under Stormcock. And she's like, is that like Madonna? Like just one name? Or like what's the deal? And he's like, it's just tell me if it's in there.
I'm not a fan of this joke either, because I feel like it's when a comedian like puts on some plaid jacket or something and just like, look what I'm wearing. What was I thinking? You know what I mean? Where it's like, you set that up. You know what I mean? Where it's like, that weird name? Like writers, you gave it to them. Like, knock it off, you know, but.
Yeah. Like, it's beautiful when it happens in real life. Like, there's a professional pitcher in the MLB named Balfour, and that's awesome. Right. That absolutely rocks. But, yeah, that's because it actually happened, not because, like, they made it up. Also, it's funny because it's, like, Balfour, which is, like, it's, like, close. You can see how it'd be a real name as opposed to Stormcock. Come on, man.
Like, first name, last name, by the way, is the answer to that question, is it's not a Madonna situation. It's first name Storm, last name Cock. I read the credits. Also, they clearly wanted to do more bits with the characters' names because, like, the woman who says that the other guy can't lick her butthole, her name in the credits is Mary Magdalene, but her name is never actually used even one time in the TV show. So, like, clearly they had something built around that they didn't end up going with. Because that's that character's name. So that's what it was in the credits. But alas, Iris, who has told them that she's going to be bringing extra towels up, starts doing voiceover because for some reason we're doing a lot of voiceover this episode. And Iris is like, yeah, actually, I think porn is pretty cool. Since becoming a vampire, I've actually got, like, real horny, and I love looking at porn. And when I'm, like, the 80s or whatever, I went and watched porn at the theater. I thought it was pretty great. Not this modern stuff, though.
I was going to say, and now comes the part where after the butt, everything before it is invalidated. Because she says, like, oh, I used to love porn, and I like the old stuff. But, yeah, this newfangled porn is, like, too aggressive. It's hurting ladies who think men want to bang them like this. And it's hurting men who think ladies want to bang them like this. Which it's like, this is such a strange angle. Like, this is so bizarre to be like, I'm sex positive to a limit. Like, let's not go crazy here.
Sex positive parentheses conditional. Yeah, and then, like, literally halfway through the speech, she's like, actually, I've decided I don't like porn, and it sucks extremely bad. So these are bad people, and I don't feel bad about what I'm about to do. And I'm like, this show has got to stop justifying why the people in this hotel keep dying. Like, we're not, like, rooting for them or anything. Like, if they were just randoms, we wouldn't be like, oh, no, that random family from, like, Idaho got murdered. Like, we don't care. They're literally supposed to die.
Characters you like in horror die all the time. That's kind of part of why the horror works, because you get invested in these characters and then they die and you're like, oh no. Like, you can have good people die on your show. I promise. It's okay.
What if American Horror Story says there are no good people that you care about anymore and it's just a show where things happen? Anyway.
That, yeah, you know what? That's a great tagline for American Horror Story. American Horror Story, comma, things happen.
It's just a show where things happen.
Yeah, just a show where some situations are occurring.
American Story. Yeah, that's it, you know, whatever.
At some point, it just becomes story.
American Horror plot points. Like, you know, they're not connected, but whatever.
American
anyway.
Horror TED Talk. Yeah, so as you can probably suss out, they start doing the porn in the porn room that they said they were going to do. Can I just say, not to, like, be weird about it, but, like, really kind of dog shit boring porn that they're shooting in there. Like, y'all rented a location and, like, you're just doing the most boring. They were like, the writers were like, all right, now I've never seen a pornography. what do they what do they typically do in a pornography? Does the woman get naked? Well, God, no.
Especially after they just had Iris be like, the problem is how extreme all the sex they're having is. And then they're just like, all right, well, you know, missionary, face
good,
to face, classic. That's good, right? That's
half crazy. Clothed missionary while making the most generic noises possible. Yeah, that'll do it.
The only way it could be like less sexual is if they had the lights turned off. They were filming it anyway.
Remind the audience, you just got married, okay? <To me. laughs>
And they have the cameraman like moving around the room very actively for this very passive sex scene. I'm like, I'm not going to say like I'm like a pornography connoisseur, but like, this is a lot of camera movement for one position, I think. Like, I think the people watching are going to be frustrated that they can't focus on literally anything because it's only on the screen for roughly half a second before you start doing a full 360 rotation around these two people.
High-speed drone shots, yeah.
Damn it, I went to film school, and I'm going to use that, okay?
Yeah, Storm Cock has a degree in filmography, it turns out. So they're shooting the porn, and Iris shows up, and they're like, "Aw, shucks, you were moaning too loud." I'm like, "Why did you do this in a hotel if that was a concern?" And they answer the door, and Iris is like, "Bing bong," and just slashes Stormcock's neck. I would like to remind everybody that the vampires do not have like any type of like super strength. Which is going to be problematic if you remember that for any of the altercations that are going to involve a vampire during this specific episode. Maybe some even involving children vampires, who could say?
there's like a, because one of the dudes, like the guy that's in the porn is like a pretty big, pretty built out guy. Like, he would not just like, I'm sorry, he would fold Kathy Bates like a cheap suit.
Yeah, he roundhouse Kathy Bates.
Nothing against Kathy Bates. She's just not built for fighting.
Yeah, like,
what
could you...
This fucking show is the only opportunity you'd be like, I think that guy could totally take Kathy Bates in a fight. But like you
have. Yeah.
No one ever thought that during Misery. That definitely wasn't a plot point during Misery. The movie she was famously the star of.
Misery, they have to like specifically point out like he's injured. The guy,
that's what I mean.
He broke his leg.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Is that she had to like take a dude's leg out because obviously she wouldn't be able to fight him. But like, I'll give her one thing. Like, the first guy, she got Stormcock on like a technicality. He wasn't expecting her to like stab him in the neck, so like he gets a pass for not being able to fight back. And then she kills the lady, which is weird because she just told us in voiceover that like she hates that like women are subjected to pornography. And then the guy, who's the only one that's naked in this situation for some reason, I think the actor requested that he be naked, runs and locks himself in the bathroom instead of simply grabbing the chair behind him and doing a professional wrestling move on Kathy Bates, who just has a tiny little letter opener knife. Or maybe even just running past her. That probably also would have been an option. But instead he's like, nope, there's no way I can win this fight. I'm locking myself in the bathroom. And he does. And that's not the end of that, by the way. We'll come back to that in a second. Donovan, for some godforsaken reason, happens to be on this exact floor of the hotel, in this exact room of the hotel, for some reason. I guess he has a spidey sense for where his mom is at all times, or something. And he walks in and he's like, holy shit, you did a number on these fellas. Good lord, I didn't know you had it in you. Like, up top, high five, gamer. And she's like, why are you here? Why are you in the Hotel Cortez where, the woman who hates you and kicked you out is? And also, I don't know why I'm asking this, period, because I've been working pretty intimately with you and Ramona in this revenge plot against Lady Gaga, like kind of this whole time. So I would think we would have remained in contact to some degree. but I digress. Why are you here? And then we get a flashback that shows Lady Gaga confronting Iris at some unknown point in the past about Bartholomew being missing. Remember when that happened? Boss Baby Bartholomew, BBB, Boss Baby Bart, had his little adventure a few episodes ago. I don't think that at any point Iris was involved in that. So I'm not sure why Lady Gaga was like, yeah, do you remember that time when I definitely confronted you about this?
So what I think this is we're supposed to, like, work backwards for this. Because when Lady Gaga, like, pulls Alex onto the team, one of the first things is she's like, well, I just lost my Kathy Bates, so you'll have to do my Kathy Bates shit for me, I guess. So I think this is, like, them showing where she actually messed up, according to Lady Gaga, maybe?
I don't know, because, like, it doesn't change anything. Iris never got caught, so, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Iris does think that she is busted, though, for whatever reason, which, again, that's, like, not even what their plan was, so I'm not even sure why Iris is getting, like, weird and squirrely about it, but... she's like, no, Donovan and I aren't doing anything bad. Also, I'm definitely not a vampire. Don't worry about that. It was all Ramona, and she immediately sells Ramona out. Which is crazy because this is a flashback while she's talking to Donovan. And it's supposed, it lays the groundwork for a storyline that's going to come later that doesn't have anything to do with her. So it's weird that Iris is the one who's laying the groundwork for what's happening by showing us specifically that Lady Gaga knows that Ramona is the one responsible for the Bartholomew situation. Because I would like to reiterate that Lady Gaga has not mentioned Ramona, has not talked about Ramona, has not interacted with Ramona, does not know Ramona, as far as we know, does not know Ramona was in the Hotel Cortez. This is this flashback where Iris tells Donovan that she sold out Ramona is the only indication that Lady Gaga would have gotten about Ramona being involved at all, period, with Bartholomew. Because Ramona has not been, like, in the thick of things at the Hotel Cortez. She exists completely divorced of the Hotel Cortez. She's got her own, like, mansion. She doesn't hang out there. Yeah. Like, this is not her, like, stomping ground. But yeah, so that is to set up something that happens later in the episode that does not have anything to do with Iris. So it's very strange that this is the way they've chosen to deliver this information. I guess they maybe put that in there, so that we had a reason why Lady Gaga would do what she's going to do later. But, 'cause I think they forgot that, like, Ramona didn't get caught, so they were like, aw, shucks, we have to find a way that Lady Gaga can know that Ramona was involved. So they just straight up have Iris sell her out, like, immediately. And then Donovan's like, it's cool, it doesn't matter, because I'm scamming Lady Gaga. I, like, had sex with her, and it's all good, and she thinks I'm on her team, but actually, I'm double-crossing her. And we're still gonna win. I'm the one who's gonna seal this deal. And Iris is like, okay, well, yeah, there's a guy in that bathroom if you, like, are hungry or whatever.
It, like, truly is brutal because it's just an absolute 180 of Donovan's character. So it's either, like, this is the worst written thing in the universe, or he's just going to backstab and it's so obvious that it's, like, pointless to even put forth a facade. They're, you know?
Those are not mutually exclusive either, just for the record, but yeah.
Especially for this show. I would say heavily for this show, even. So now it's the wedding day. So I guess it's Wednesday, whatever that means to anybody. And Will is, like, helping his son Lachlan get ready for the wedding, like, tying his little bow tie. And Lachlan's like, well, I'm happy for you, but I'm still a little confused why you're marrying a lady since you're gay.
You were pretty clear on the whole just men thing, right? Like, that, yeah, we were pretty up and down on that being gay. And Will Drake's like, oh, I had forgotten about bisexuality.
I
had forgotten about bisexuality. And it's like really weird too, because yeah, he just like remembers that he's bisexual, tells Lachlan that, and then is like, yeah, does this weird like projection thing where he's like, some people think bisexuality is a dirty word, which like, huh?
Who's saying this to you, Will Drake?
Yeah.
Also, like, I don't know. Like, you have to suspend, I guess, a certain level of disbelief for any form of media. But, like, in a world, in a universe where an extremely gay and, like, very out gay man is a very extremely famous fashion designer and has a son who seems to be extremely aware that his dad only likes men because he keeps bringing it up to the point where he's confused why his dad would ever be interested in a woman. At some point that dad has almost certainly, told this 13-year-old what bisexuality is at some point, or someone else has. This 13-year-old knows what a bisexual is what I'm saying. If he knows that his dad is gay, he knows what a bisexual is. The chances of those two things being mutually exclusive are extremely low. So truly the only explanation, and I do mean the only explanation, is that Will Drake genuinely forgot bisexuals existed. He's like, no, sexuality is a hard spectrum. You either like men or you like women. There is no spectrum. It is one or the other.
It is truly like, Dad, but you're gay, but you like women. How can you be gay if you like women? It's like, that's all it is. It's like so open and close.
And as if that's not crazy enough, and as if the like bisexuality is a dirty word, but don't let them tell you that, Lachlan. It's like, okay, well, no one said that, so relax. As if that's not the craziest part of the conversation, he's like, and also, like, they do this, like, weird reverse trope of, like, the bisexual woman who ends up with, like, the one man she finds attractive as opposed to the 9 million women she finds attractive. They decide to subvert that, like, stereotype, and they're like, this is the gay man who only loves men, but Lady Gaga is the one woman that he does love. And he's like, sometimes the one will show up and like, you'll know that that's the one. And Lady Gaga is the one. And then the funniest possible turn of events, just truly the single most comedic entrance of a character I think I've ever seen. Just literally, and I do mean literally, out of nowhere, Miss Evers appears behind Will Drake and is like, you can't marry that fucking lady. She's going to murder you. And Will Drake is like, who the fuck are you? How did you get into my house? What the fuck is happening? And then Lachlan, his son, is like, oh, yeah, that's Miss Evers. Like, that's my best friend, Miss Evers. I know that lady. And I'm like, hell yeah. Huge fan of Lachlan being like, yeah, that's my bestie, Miss Evers. She's a ghost and she is really weird about murder. She's here all the time. You've never seen her before? That's really weird.
Lachlan's like the Amazon X-ray, but like in the show, you know, like, ah, yeah, Miss Evers, you know, the maid named Marge who's out of the hotel.
She loves to phase through walls. That's how she's in here right now.
From episode 6, Spider fans. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then Will Drake's like, well, that won't stop me because I can't read. But he's actually like, well, I have a prenup. And
which, again, he has a prenup, which would just blow up all of Lady Gaga's plans if she does what she intends to do of marry him and kill him the next day. Like, that's a big part of what a prenup is for, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, if that happens, it's so like, they have Will Drake look at the camera directly and be like, Lady Gaga's plan will not function as written. Okay, just being clear on that to everyone.
But she's too dumb to know that. She's simultaneously an evil genius, but also too stupid to know how modern crime works. Yeah, and he's like, well, I've got a prenup and I'm not worried about it, so get bent. And she's like, well, I'm going to use this opportunity to drop some more lore about me for some reason in episode 9 of this television show. Here's a flashback where I reveal that I was actually madly in love with James March and I was going to marry him, even though in the flashback we clearly see that James March doesn't fucking like me. I don't know where I got the information that he was going to marry me, but he straight up calls me dog shit ugly in this flashback.
Yeah, this is so invented. Like, every interaction we've seen them together with, like, it has never, ever been a thing until, like, they're just saying, like, oh, yeah, did we forget to mention, you know, but...
Yeah, in case... It's a very Liz Taylor-Tristan situation where we're like, oh, okay. And then in the flashback, James March basically tells Miss Evers that you're ugly and I don't want to marry you. I'm going to marry my hot vampire wife instead. Goodbye. So I guess that, like, there's an unspoken implication that, like, Miss Evers hates Lady Gaga. Again, incredible that we're bringing this up on episode 9. This weird, like, resentment towards Lady Gaga's character by Miss Evers, of all people. And Will Drake's like, well, I still don't believe you. I'm going to marry Lady Gaga because I love her. And Miss Evers is like, whatever, man. I can't tell you what to do. You're going to get fucking murdered. And I'm going to laugh at you.
And when it happens. They have her describe it in, like, a very detailed, like, way that's very clearly describing the shot where he gets killed later. And it's to the point where I'm just like, oh, okay, they're going to have him literally, like, reaching up and being like, help me, and having her be like, yippee, can't wait to do your sheets. I can't wait to clean your blood sheets. Yum, yum. This scene. So, yeah, Lady Gaga's talking to the contractor in front of the hole that Valentino and Miss Natasha escaped out of. Mm-hmm. She's like, I need a security door here, the thickest you got. Make sure it's impossible to get through. I'm building a vault, and I need it tomorrow because it's a surprise. And the contractor's like, hey, we would literally need to be, like, at least a week out just to, like, order parts. Like, I don't have the door on me. Like, we don't just have those. That's, like, a pretty specific special order thing. And then Lady Gaga's like, no, you can do it. Stop being a wiener. Make it happen. I have so much money. You can do it, right? And then James March, the ghost of James March, shows up and goes, you can do it. Me and my boys, we used to just slap up a security door in 20 minutes. Go get some sheet steel. Come on, hurry up. Chop, 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 chop. And it's like, I hate both of these people so much.
Also, this is where he says that that's a load-bearing wall, as though that makes it better. He's like, well, this is a load-bearing wall, so it's okay if you just, like, put a big door on it. And I'm like, I don't know much about construction, but that doesn't sound right. I don't think you want your load-bearing wall to be a door.
To have a hole?
Yeah. Seems bad.
Holes are terrible for supporting loads. Yeah, famously.
And the contractor's like, he gets so gaslit by both of these people at once that he can do the door, that he's like, well, I guess I can do the door. I guess we're gonna do the door. Spoiler alert, listeners, by the end of this episode, they will have installed a full bank safe door in this space. So maybe this guy just was underestimating himself. Maybe these two do have a point. And then James March is like, after the contractor leaves, James March is like, isn't that great? I got your big door, like, set up. Don't you think I'm such a good husband? And the Lady Gaga fucking levels him with a slap, and it is insanely funny. Like, the look on his face after Lady Gaga rocks his shit. Evan Peters does the funniest fucking face that he could have possibly, the most Scooby-Doo ass face after getting his shit rocked by Lady Gaga. And she, like, screams at him. She goes, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I'm like, this is a good interaction. We should have more interactions like this between Lady Gaga and James March. More people should be punching James March in the face and then screaming at him. Also, it made me realize that, like, we don't get a lot of, like, yelling in this show. Like, there was a lot of yelling in season 1, But, like, there's not a lot of yelling. Most characters don't yell typically in American Horror Story. Lady Gaga straight up screams at him. And it's very good. I'm a big fan of it. And she's like, I'm fucking done with you. I hate you. I know that you're the one that put my husband and my wife in this hole. And I fucking hate you. And I, if you weren't already dead, I would kill you myself. And he's like, oh, no, my wife, who I knew hated me, hates me. This sucks. And he like grovels on the ground and it's very cringy and pathetic. And she just fucks off. She's like, I'm fucking out of here. This is dumb and you're dumb and I hate you. And then we get a very bizarre segue that we will get kind of into. I think I should probably stop us before the flashback sequence, because there's going to be a flashback in our next episode of podcast that is not only is it insane, but also it will not affect the plot in any way. So the fact that they make us sit through 6 minutes of this flashback, crazy, insane work by American Horror Story. The fact that they hired two new actors, even more, because there was extras in the flashback too, two actors that have speaking roles and then also a bunch of extras for this specific flashback sequence, crazy. Absolutely bonkers. But before that, Donovan takes the guy who was in the like bathroom, which again would like to reiterate, vampires aren't super strong, so I don't know how Donovan, who's not like a particularly imposing man, was able to manhandle this big porn star guy with no problem whatsoever. Didn't have a weapon or anything to like threaten him, was just Donovan, but somehow got the fully naked porn star guy to Ramona for some reason. And in case you're wondering, like, oh, will that be relevant? Will they use him for anything like useful? No. I don't really know why we brought the porn star to this specific scene, because he doesn't like really serve a purpose. Like, they are gonna put him in like the vampire dialysis machine and like sip off of him, but like that's not like a plot point. It's more like they're making like a martini as they discuss a thing over a beverage. He's really just set dressing, which is weird. Crazy that we brought the naked man here to Ramona's house and no one noticed. It was just fine. Nobody cared. He knocks on Ramona's door, and he's got the porn star all tied up. And Ramona yells at Donovan because he's a little bitch and, like, didn't help, I guess, during the time that she was supposed to kill Lady Gaga's vampire babies. And he's like, it's fine. It's fine. I have new plan that's better than that plan. I'm banging Lady Gaga again because I realized that I was addicted to her. Remember? Because the whole theme of this is addiction. And if you're at the Hotel Cortez, you're addicted to something. That's the that's the deal, is you have an addiction. Everybody's got an addiction. And mine is Lady Gaga and her nipple pasties. Teehee. This is the underlying plot of this season for some reason, even though it doesn't really have anything to do with anything. We loosely have tied this all together. We've used vampirism as a metaphor for addiction and used that as an extremely thin through line to bind these two separate seasons together. And he's like, I love Lady Gaga and I still love her so much, and that's bad. I've decided. So I drugged her with a bunch of GHB. I guess virus vampire status does not even help you not get roofied. Doesn't really seem like there's really, which is crazy because Ramona's about to say that she's seen the vampire virus like heal wounds and whatnot. So the fact that it doesn't prevent you from getting drugged, pretty fucked up and stupid, IMO.
Yeah, there's a pretty strong implication that this can cure anything. For example, the measles.
Yeah.
Just as like a random example, yeah. Unrelated to anything, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Just they couldn't have picked Tranquilizer, too. Like, it's a little fucked up. He's like, well, I had to get out of there, so I roofied her. I had that, which is like, eh, it's weird, Donovan. Like, don't, you know, but whatever. It,
like most things in this show, anytime they specifically, like, later they're going to name drop Xanax. Anytime they name drop something like that, I assume it's because the writers of the show have no experience with those substances, and they're like, oh, but I've heard someone say this, so I'm going to put it in my show.
Right, right. That is, yeah.
They Googled, like, what do you do to sedate someone? And both Xanax and GHB must have popped up on the same Google search, because they use both of them as a tranquilizer in this episode. And he's like, all right, I drug Lady Gaga, but I'm a huge bitch. I'm a huge pussy. So you're going to have to kill Lady Gaga. And Ramona's like, yeah, that tracks. We can go back to the Hotel Cortez where you allegedly drugged Lady Gaga, and I will murder her. This will certainly have positive outcomes for everyone involved, and makes sense that we would do this and that I have not tried to do something like this already. And then after this will be our 6-minute flashback. So this is all we have for this part of our episode of the podcast. It's gonna get buck wild. The things that are gonna happen in the next half, we're gonna revisit some hanging threads that have been hanging for seven episodes now. Those are gonna get remembered. Yeah, I mean, they're not gonna get tied up, but they will get remembered at least.
Yeah. Hey, remember that thing that was like the startup of like a cataclysmic level world event? Yeah, we're going to get back there finally after like 3 or 4 episodes. It's so funny, too, how they had like the Ten Commandments killer be this like big thing. But like in reality, he killed what? Like 20 people, maybe
less, like 22, like 5. Something he killed like 5 people. Well, I guess the people at the
gospel. Didn't even finish all of them, and some were follow-ups. Yeah. But yeah, the one station had the like station 10 had people like 10 in it. People. But either way. Either way, this other thing we're going to visit, which is the vampire kids, have already killed at least 40 at this point, if not more.
Not counting the school massacre that they've already done. This is like additional people on top of the school massacre. We'll check in with them. We'll do a little check-in. It won't be a good one, and nothing will get resolved, but we will check in with them, which I think is important. Also, Alex will be there, which I know I think is the thing that will get everybody on board, is that Alex will be there. Everybody's favorite character, Alex, will be there.
Also, yeah, we'll see how Lady Gaga's cool plan works out. And you know what? We'll at least get to see how she very carefully and quietly kills him in a way that makes sure it looks like an accident. For sure. So we'll see you next time for the second half of She Wants Revenge. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Have a great night.
Bye.